Bible Speak. We always mention why we try to stick by the Word of God. There are a number of passages we could look at. But sometimes we talk about Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, where there is a frightful warning that if we would teach any other gospel than what that's been taught, then there's a curse associated with it. But another reason for why we try to focus by just on what the Bible says is because that's where people get their faith from. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, Romans 10 and verse 17, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so if you would have faith in God, if anyone would have faith in God, it's going to come as a result of hearing His Word. So that's all we wanted to teach today and every day. And so we encourage you, don't listen to us, listen only to the Word of God. So go ahead and call in your questions right now, and we will let God's Word do what it's always been designed to do, and that is to answer our questions and lead us to heaven. Go ahead and call right now, 308-9564.
Now is your opportunity, as if you're a frequent listener, you know at the end of the broadcast many times the lines do fill up and the questions pile up. And so we do want you to go ahead and call now while you have an opportunity. The lines are now available. 308-9564 is the voice line. So if you would like to either go have your question written down and brought into us, or if you'd rather go live, then the only thing that we ask, if you'd like to go live over the air, is that you give us your name and also be ready to turn your radio down once we begin talking. That way there will not be an echo causing delay and feedback. And so we do not want any kind of confusion on this program. That's the whole purpose of this program, is so there can be clarity as to what God actually expects of us. And so that's what we want to occur, and that's where why we will go to the Bible for those answers. Again, that voice line is 308-9564. Now, if you would rather, you can text us your question. If you have a cell phone and you have a desire to communicate via text, then you can do so as well by texting us at 725-9283, 725-9283. That's the text line, and you can communicate that way as well. Either way, you set the theme for this program, and we will go to the Bible for the answers. In other words, God Himself, through His Word, will answer the questions that you have on your mind. Now, if you have friends or relatives that are out of state, maybe even out of the country, you can have them join us through the Internet. They can join us simply by going to our website, and which is www.BibleAlone.com. BibleAlone.com. And there will be a live stream button on the page, at the bottom of the page, and just have them click on that live stream words, and that will bring them directly to the website where they can join us right now. This is a live broadcast. Everything is ready for them to join us as well. So don't miss this opportunity, and we will be glad to go to the Bible for the answers that pertain to life and godliness. So don't miss out on this opportunity. Let's go to the Bible, and thus God will be the one that will be instructing us, and we will be all benefited in the process. Now, the voice line again is 308-9564, 308-WJNI, and we will be glad to let the Bible speak. Again, 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283.
The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, "For without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him." So what's interesting about that text is this idea that you cannot please God and I cannot please God without faith. Faith is an interesting word. Sometimes in our Bibles it's translated belief. And it really is this idea of more than just believing inside of our head, but it's really into this active believing. The idea, I believe, and it's because I believe, I do. And so every time the Bible's used that word faith, it really is this acting or action word. In fact, James reveals to us in the book of James that if a person has faith and that faith is not coupled with action or work, that person's faith is dead, being alone. And so every time a person says they have faith, that faith should be seen by what they do. In James chapter 2 and verse 17, James 2 and verse 17, the Bible says, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Now that word works, some of your translation may translate that word action, because that's really what it is. Because I believe in God, then I'll do what he says. And so sometimes there's discussions about whether or not a person is saved by belief. And that word belief is, again, faith. And so sometimes people say, well, a person can only be saved by belief only. Well, there's only one passage in the Bible that talks about this idea of belief only, or faith only, or faith alone, or belief alone. And that's in James chapter 2 and verse 24. And what the Bible lets us know is that a person is not justified by works. The Bible says, verse 24, you see then that a man is justified by works, and not by faith only. And so then I need more than faith. My faith has to be carried out in action. You may have heard me use this illustration on the broadcast before. I can believe with all my heart that my car will crank outside. But if I leave here and I go sit in the car, believing in my heart the car is going to crank, that car will do nothing until I act upon my belief. And so until I take the keys out of my pocket, until I put it in the ignition, until I turn the ignition, that car will not crank. So then faith, it operates the same way. I can have a faith in God, but that faith is no good until I act upon that faith. So join us right now. Go ahead and call 308-9564.
And that's exactly what we want you to do, is to act on your faith, and that is to be a seeker of God's will and not a hearer only. We must be a doer of it. In James chapter 1, verse 22, be doers of the word and not hearers only. So we've got to learn it with our head, we've got to learn it with our heart, and then we've got to put it into action if we are to be pleasing to God when it comes down to that great noble day of meeting him face to face. We want that to turn out well, don't you agree? And so the only way we can do that is to know what God expects of us. Imagine, if you will, those of you that are listening right now, that you have always wanted item A, whatever item A is. You've always wanted it. You've just desired it so much. And so someone decided, okay, I'm going to make your dream come true, and I'm going to buy you a gift that will just be the answer to your dream. And then they go out and they buy this gift and they wrap it up and they bring it to you just to show their love. Maybe it's your birthday, maybe it's some kind of holiday, and they give it to you and you open it up and it is item Z, not A. And Z is what they like, not what you wanted. How would you feel about that? Would you be pleased with that? Would you like for that to occur to you, to think that you were going to get that which you always wanted, that which you always desired, and you were so close to it, and then when you opened it up, it was not what you wanted at all, it was what they wanted instead. Now that's exactly how God feels. If we make a pretense that I'm going to serve you, Lord, I love you, I love you, I love you, and then we go and do exactly what we want, how does that make God feel about us? We need to be doers of this word and not hearers only, to not just love him in word, but in deed and in truth, according to his will. And if we do, then he may be so inclined one day when we meet him face to face, and meet him we will, that he might be able to say to us, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joys of the Lord. We've got to be diligent toward this end if God is going to be pleased with us. And thus we've got to make certain that we know what his word says before we can do it. Imagine one more illustration. Imagine you're driving down the road and you're going through this neighborhood and you're booking along around 50, 55 miles an hour. You might say, well, yeah, what's wrong with 55 miles an hour? Well, if it's a 30-mile-an-hour zone, there's a whole lot wrong with it. And then all of a sudden, the policeman pulls you over, and they start to write you a ticket, and you ask the officer, "Officer, what's wrong?" He said, "You were going over the speed limit." "Oh, really? I didn't know that." Well, that doesn't mean that you won't get the ticket. You'll still get the ticket. And so it is with God. Just because we may be ignorant of His Word, that is, we do not know what those limits are, we do not know what God expects of us, well, that doesn't mean that we are free, that we are without fault. We have got to do what God says. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. It's not in this world, and it certainly will not be with God as well. So what we need to do is to no longer be ignorant, but we should search the Scriptures whether these things are so. We've got to be people of the book to be able to please our God. So, what questions do you have on your mind? We are eager to be able to answer your question, and we do want you to know, if you are a new listener, we're going to be telling you about a free correspondence course that we're more than happy to send to you free of charge. Now, for the last few weeks, we've had a lot of people respond to this, and so we hope and pray that you are so inclined as well. If you've never received this correspondence course, we want you to pay attention to the information that we're about to give you. There is an operator standing by, and we'll be more than happy to send this course to you free of charge. It is a comprehensive overview of the Bible, and there are things in this course that most likely, if you go to the average denominational church for 100 years, you may never, ever hear these things taught. So you will discover things in God's Word that are very important, that may keep you from going to heaven. And so you might say, well, surely that's not the case. Well, there's only one way for you to find out, and that is for you to enroll in the course and go through it. We'll send you lesson one. Then when you fill that out and send it back, we'll send you lesson two and three. And when you fill those out, study those and answer the questions, send them back, we'll send you lesson four, five, and six. And thus you will complete the course. And then we'll just, to show our appreciation, make certain that you get a certificate of appreciation from us, and denoting you finished the first course, and there's a whole lot more where they came from. So we want you to learn what God's Word says. And by the way, yes, the operative word is free. It is all free. Please do not send us your money. Do not send us your tithes and offerings. You do not do that. We want to give you treasure that only God can give. And there's only one way for you to receive it, and that is to call the operator standing by. And so we're going to go ahead and take our first break. We do want you to know we stand by for your questions. The lines are available here. Both lines are available. 308-9564 is the number, and we will let the Bible speak to the questions that are on your mind. So if you've already enrolled in the course, go ahead and call in your question, and we'll go to the Bible for the answer. We'll be right back. We are back live now. We are honored to be able to be with you today, and we hope and pray that the weather is not blowing you away, and that you are able to have your pages ready, open, eager to hear what God says in His Word. And we are eager to have your questions. We got a couple of questions on deck here, but go ahead and call in yours at 308-9564. Remember, it can be written down and brought into us, and we'll answer it. Or if you would like, you can go live over the air. The only thing we ask is let us have your name so we can be courteous and address you by name. And also, be ready to turn your radio down so there will not be a confusing echo causing distraction. And so be ready to turn your radio down if you want to go live. The number is 308-9564. The lines are available. Both lines are available. If by chance you call when there's someone else on the line, just go ahead and let the phone ring. We'll eventually get to you and pick up, and you'll be able to get your question answered. 308-9564. If you'd rather, you can text us, just like these in front of us, and that text number is 725-9283. That's 725-9283, and you can text us your question, and we'll answer it as well on today's broadcast. Nick, you've got a question?
Yes, we have a text question that comes in. The last three digits is 448. The question or the caller says, the president and many others support gay marriages. what does Bible believers, or what should Bible believers do? And the idea is, what does the Bible say about believers should do? When we look in the Bible, God is very clear as to where he stands on homosexuality. I mean, that's not one of those things that's a gray area. If we look at passages like Romans chapter 1, here it's speaking to a group of people that yesteryear, I'm talking about Gentiles of yesteryear, if you will, that had engaged in a variety of practices that were against God. And the Bible says, picking up in verse 25, these people, they had exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. And verse 26, for this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. And verse 27, likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which is due. And so God says this behavior is shameful, and that it's going against that which is natural or against nature. The ending of that text, and I invite all of our listeners to read Romans chapter 1, the end of the text just simply says in verse 32, it says, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. So I can't even approve of someone practicing these things. Well, now, note also in 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, and verse 9, the Bible says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Well, who is the unrighteous? The Bible says, do not be deceived, neither fornicators. And that word fornicator, sexual immorality is a word that we typically use, but the Greek word is porneia, is where we get our English word pornography, and it really refers to all sexual immoral activity. That would be inclusive of premarital sex, extramarital sex, and same-sex relationships. And if you look in this text, it will identify those things. It goes on to say, do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified, in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And so there were folks that were participating in such behaviors, these Christians, but they turned away from it. And that's what God would have those who engage in it to turn away from it. But they need to know that they will not inherit the kingdom of God. As far as what our responsibility is, I leave you with Ephesians 5 and verse 11. Ephesians 5 and verse 11, the Bible says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful work of darkness, but rather reprove them. And that's our responsibility, to correct and not to have fellowship, not to be in union with, not to say, okay, this is all right. Joint participation. We don't share in those things according to what the Bible says. And so those passages again, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9, 10, 11, and then also Romans chapter 1. I encourage you to read all of Romans chapter 1. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564, 308-9564.
We have Deborah calling in this question. Deborah, thank you so much for calling, and thank you for your interest and your desire to know what God says. We are thrilled to be able to have you join us today. The last three digits, 109 of their phone number. They want to know, hello, it says, is it so wrong to play the lottery if you dream about a number? Well, Deborah, that's a good question. And so let's just look and see what God says in reference to his word as to how to get increase or how to have prosperity in this life. And in Ephesians chapter 4, he tells us that let him that stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor with his hands that which is good, that he may have to give to him that it's in need. So there, the exact opposite of what many play the lottery for is explained there. We work that we may have to give to those that are in need. But unfortunately, with a lottery, it's usually those in need that are buying lottery tickets that they can have for themselves. And so you can see the exact opposite in play there. The Bible also condones gifts that we give to one another, to giving good gifts. The Bible also explains that discovering a treasure or some kind of a blessing along this line. If you strike gold or oil on your property, there's nothing wrong with increase from such as that, or a pearl of great price. Jesus tells that story. Then there's also with the one talent man was rebuked by the Lord, said, why didn't you not put it to the bankers for that they might receive it with interest? And so there we see interest or investment also condoned by the scriptures, as well as inheritance, how that one would inherit it. Matter of fact, in the Old Testament, the firstborn child was to receive a double portion from all the others of what the others had received. And so there you can see that condoned as well. Now, what you don't see is everybody pooling their money together in mutual agreement to where that the winner gets the lot. That's one thing you do not see in God's Word. And so does that make it wrong? Well, I won't go so far as to say that that makes it wrong, but the attitudes attached to it make it wrong, such as idolatry, such as covetousness, and many other things that it's all about me. Jesus gave up all the wealth of heaven to come down here to be poor so we could be rich and go to heaven. That's our attitude that we should adopt. It's not about here and now. And matter of fact, in 1 John chapter 4, it even discusses the idea that we're not to be of this world, nor to be liked by this world, or even have value or place value in this world. And so those are things that we should be mindful of, Deborah. I hope that's been helpful to you. It's just that that's not condoned. Matter of fact, the attitudes usually associated with the lottery or any kind of gambling would be condemned in God's Word. Thank you so much for your question. We sure do appreciate that very much. Again, the Lord wants us to work with our hands that which is good that we may have to give to those who are in need. Again, the number is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. And we will let the Bible speak. That's the voice line. Again, 308-9564. Or if you'd rather just text us, the text line is 725-9283. 725-9283. And you can text us your question. Thank you so much for your question, Deborah. Nick, do you have another one?
Yes, this was a follow-up comment to the last question concerning, I know what the president said on TV is a hot item. And so here's a follow-up question. It says the president was just saying they deserve, and I take the they there to refer to homosexuals, that they deserve a choice. He wasn't condoning it. How is that different from God giving us a choice to serve him? And so I'm just trying to make sure I get the Bible question in this. And so, first of all, does God give us a choice to serve him? Yes. Okay. And so anytime someone gives us a choice, are they operating under the same parameters of God? Only if they do the same thing that God does. For example, in the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 2, when God gave man a choice, God was clear about what was wrong. God was clear about what was going to happen. In Genesis 2, verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. Choice. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die. Choice. And the Lord God said, if it is not good that man should be alone. So it goes on that text. But here, God gave them a choice. God says, don't do this. And if you do this, you're going to die. And so God was very clear about the results of it. God in no way was condoning them going out and eating of that forbidden tree. And so the only way that we're operating like God when we give someone a choice like that, right, a choice between right and wrong, is that we're specifying the wrong and we're specifying the results. If we're trying to say we're like God, that's best I can do from the scriptures, if we're trying to figure out from the scripture perspective.
You know, the people that lived in the cities of the plain, better known as Sodom and Gomorrah, they had a choice. And matter of fact, there was even a bargaining with God over to save them from destruction. And there was not 10 righteous people found in those cities of the plain. And so, therefore, the choice was they could repent. They could have gone with Lot to escape but they chose not to. And so everybody has had a choice from the beginning, but that choice is not one to that God would condone to reject him and to reject his word. If we reject his word on any subject, then he will reject us. And that is just a matter of choice. And everybody's got that choice. But the only record we have someone of choosing to reject God, and then we have a record of what they thought about it later, is recorded in Luke chapter 16, where the rich man regretted that choice and said, oh, he first asked for just one drop of water, and then it seemed to dawn on him that my family is headed this way too. And so what we need to do is understand that if we take advantage of the choice that God gives us, that is to please him, then we will not be in the shape that the rich man was in, tormented in that flame, regretting his choice and suffering, thinking that his family was going to join him there. That has been played out many thousands of times since then. Now, the truth of the matter is, what's your choice? Whether it is homosexuality, or whether it is lying, stealing, or just neglecting to obey God. Ignorance of God's word can be just as condemning as a blatant sin that man would call it blatant. Time for us to take our break at the top of the hour. We thank you so much for the question, and we sure do appreciate your interest in this. Certainly it is a hot topic of today, and it's not about to go away soon. So the Bible will continue to say the same thing, regardless of how many different ways we approach it. So thank you so much for the question. Again, it's time for us to take a break. The numbers, if you have a question, go ahead and call right now at 308-9564. That's the voice line to call in your question, 308-9564. If the phone just keeps on ringing, just let it ring. We'll get to you. Or if you'd rather just text us, you don't have to wait. You can get through immediately at 725-9283. 725-9283. And remember, the correspondence course that we're about to send to you contains treasures that you may never find anywhere else. And so what we need to do is to make certain that you know what God says before we see him face to face. So take advantage of this. Here's the information on that. Go ahead and call in your question right now. We'll be right back.
Go ahead and call the operator standing by. That material is available to you free of charge, of course. It's 553-5157 is the number to call, so you can sign up for the correspondence course. This Memorial Day, we take this time to remember maybe the sacrifices of soldiers, but more important than the sacrifice of soldiers is the sacrifice that Jesus made on our behalf. We must come to know him better. And so what you want to do is make sure that you're taking time out to know him better. And the way you can do that is by taking advantage of the correspondence course. It's a tool that was designed to help you in your study of God's word. Go ahead and call the operator standing by. Let her know that you're interested in this correspondence course, and we'll send that to you in the mail, again, free of charge. That number is 553-5157. To join us right now here at the station, go ahead and call 308-9564, 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283.
We have a caller calling in this question. Absolutely wonderful question. We sure do appreciate your desire. And their question is, how and when do you know that you're living right? In Acts chapter 2, we see how that begins. The very beginning of the church shows how that they were wrong. Matter of fact, they were cut to the heart in Acts chapter 2 and verse 36. As Peter taught them the truth that they obviously were not living by, he told them to let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. They were cut to the heart and said, what must we do? Verse 38, Peter said, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He goes on, declares unto them more of the gospel, and then it says that they receive the word with all readiness of mind. Right before that, in verse 41, he says, be saved from this untoward generation, be saved from this perverse generation. And they received the word with all readiness of mind and obeyed that word in being baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And what were they added to? Acts 2 and verse 47 says that the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. And thus, that's the way that we begin that journey. We've got to be in Christ. And if we're in Christ, then we have a hope to be able to live faithful and living right. Now, in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, God encourages us to give diligence to show ourselves approved unto God, to be a worker that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In chapter 3 of the same book, verse 16 and 17, the scriptures show us how to live that way. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly equipped to every good work.
We have a text question coming in. Last digits are 546, last three digits. And I'm not sure I fully understand the question, but I figured I'd give a shot at it. I've replied to the text, the person who sent the text in, just to get some clarity, but I figured I could start in trying to answer the question. The question goes something like this. Can you divorce your wife if you are not in the power of agreement? And I'm just not familiar with that phrase, that language, power of agreement. But what we do have in Matthew chapter 19 is instructions concerning marriage and divorce. And so I'll read that, and at least that gives us the idea or lets us know the only reason for divorce. Of course, I can separate from my spouse die, and so that's one reason. There's really only two reasons, but that's one reason. The second reason comes out in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 9, where Jesus says, and I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. So the only reason I can get a divorce and it be lawful and right in God's eye is for sexual immorality. But if I don't, if there is no sexual morality, and sexual morality, again, is any type of sexual relationship that outside of that marriage, so going outside the boundaries of that marriage, be it an adulterous relationship, even a homosexual-type relationship would qualify. Any type of sexual relationship outside of this marriage, the boundaries of marriage, would count as adultery or sexual immorality. That's the word that's used there. Oftentimes we don't use that word, sexual immorality, but it really is a broad word to refer to any improper sexual behavior, any unlawful sexual behavior. I hope that's been helpful. Matthew chapter 19, verse 9. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564, 308-9564.
I would like to add something to the previous question that came up about how can we know we're living right. I'll give you one more passage of Scripture. If we're once we're in a relationship with God and we are a child of God, we're one of His disciples, we are not to be of this world, but we are to walk with Him in the light. In 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 5, he gives us more instructions on how to walk with God and to walk in His light. He says, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. And if these things be in you and abound, you will not be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But he that lacks these things is blind, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was purged from his sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, giving all diligence, make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Wow. Now, there's an expression that doesn't appear too often in the Bible. And thus, if we will just work on those things constantly, diligently, giving even the more diligence to add to our faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love, if we will work on these things, it says we will never fall, never stumble, depending on your translation. Wow, those are helpful. So again, those passages were, make certain that you're in Christ, as the Bible says it, because most people do not. complete their journey to be put into Christ, which would include baptizing them in water, burial, Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 7. And then once we're in Christ, then to study or give diligence to God's word, making our calling and election sure. And so that's Acts 2:15, chapter 3, verse 16, 17, and 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. You're listening to a live broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. We make no apologies about that. Or, matter of fact, we just want to stay out of God's way and just let you hear what God says in His Word. For when all is said and done, it will not be anyone at this station here holding your hand on Judgment Day. It will be based upon what we see in God's Word and if we have obeyed what God has said in His Word. And thus, we need to make certain that we know what God expects of us. And so go ahead and call in your question right now. The lines are available, 308-9564, 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283, 725-9283. Now, remember, the lines are available. They fill up at the end of the broadcast, so go ahead and call in your question now. The voice line is 308-9564.
We'll take this time and opportunity to make mention of our website as well. www.BibleAlone.com. On that site, what you'll find is two kind of groupings of things. One would be lessons and information on difficult subject matters that maybe we've talked about on this radio broadcast, and we just did not spend a great deal of time on those subjects. And so you can go to the website, and you can download that information, and hopefully it will be a help to you in your study of God's Word. Keep in mind that you're going to study that or use that information along with God's Word, not in place of God's Word. We don't ever want to take anybody's word for anything. We want to go and search the Scriptures and make sure that the things that we hear, the things that we read, are in fact so. So again, that website is www.BibleAlone.com. The second grouping of things that you'll find up there on our website is previously recorded broadcasts. And so you can go and you can listen to the things that we've talked about in times past. I know that we go quickly sometimes, because there is sometimes a flood of calls that come in, so we're just touching on some of these subjects. We're just touching the very surface. But you can go back and you can listen to those the Scriptures that's been given, and you can, again, go back and you can search these things to make sure these things are true. The Bible in the book of Acts talks about a group from Berea. The Bible says that they were more noble than those of Thessalonica, and that they searched the Scriptures daily to make sure what Paul was saying was so. And so we want to encourage you to be of that same noble character, in that you will search the Scriptures to make sure the things that we say are so. But not just us. Any radio broadcast that you're listening to throughout the course of the day, if you hear them say something, give all diligence to make sure you're going to go back and you're going to search those things out.
What if they hear something in the pulpit? Can they take their word for it?
Search those things out.
What if they hear something from their mom and daddy?
Search those things out.
What if they hear something from a well-known evangelist?
Did I say search those things out?
Yes, I think you did. Okay. Where were we supposed to search at?
In the Word of God. And so we want to encourage you to take advantage of the Word that God has given us, and no matter what anyone says, no matter who it is, no matter how much confidence you have in them, we're encouraging you to have more confidence in the one true and living God and the Word that He has provided, so that we can know all things that pertain unto life and godliness. It is time for us to take our break, but even while we're at break, we want to encourage you to call in your questions. Take advantage of this time and opportunity to have your questions answered from God's Word. Go ahead and call 308-9564 while we're at break. We also want to tell you about a correspondence material that's going to be available to you, and that's what you're going to hear while we're at break. Listen closely. If this is something that you're interested in, do yourself a favor and take advantage of it right now. We'll be right back.
We're back live now, and we're glad to be able to be with you. We hope and pray that the things that we're saying today are a blessing to you, not because of us, but because you're seeing it in God's Word. We cannot emphasize enough the need to be able to see things for yourself in God's Word. If it's not there, if you're not seeing it yourself, even if we're telling you the truth and you're taking our word for it, then it's not by faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So let's make certain that we see these things for ourselves. Have pencil and paper at hand so you can write down the scriptures and then go see them for yourself so that you can know that this is exactly what God requires and not taking anybody's word for it. There will not be anyone holding our hand when we stand before Him in judgment on that day. So let's see what God says. Let's let the Bible speak so that we can stand approved before God alone. And thus, it doesn't matter anything that this world does or anything this world would try to force us to do. What matters is what is it that God wants us to do. So call in your question right now. There is one line available. If you call right now, just let it ring. We will eventually get to you. Or you can text us through the text line at 725-9283. The way to communicate is your choice. The question that you have is your choice, and the answer will be from God's Word. And so let's make certain that we get your question before the end of the broadcast today. 308-9564. Now both lines are available. Now's your chance. Or you can text us at 725-9283.
Prior to going to break, we were making mention of this idea of how important it is for you to see it for yourself. And you noted that Ricky, and just a few minutes ago, I made mention of that again. Why is that so important? I talked about this group there at Berea, and I didn't give you the passage. In Acts, the 17th chapter, I pick up in verse 10, this is where it talks about that group and how they searched the scriptures. The Bible says, then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea, and when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded, my translation says, more noble, than those of Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. So they were searching daily, but also they received it a certain way. The Bible says they received the word with all readiness of mind. If you look over in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, you take a look at the church there at Thessalonica. When they received the word, the Bible shows that they received it a certain way. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, Paul says, for this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. Ladies and gentlemen, that's still true today. We need not receive this word as the word of men, but we have to receive it as the word of God. That's the only way it still has power. That's the only way it'll have life. And it can effectively work in us, but only if we receive it as the word of God. And that's why each time you hear us say, we want to let the Bible speak. Because there, in that way, God is speaking to our hearts. God is answering our questions. God is then changing us. He's remaking us, molding us, shaping us into the image of His Son. So if you have a question right now, go ahead and call it in. 308-9564, that's the number to call, 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283.
And may I remind you, there is an operator standing by to get your information so that we can send you a free Bible correspondence course. If you've just now tuned in, be mindful that we're sending out a correspondence course where you can study God's Word in the privacy of your home anytime you choose to. You get it in the mail, we'll send it tomorrow, and then you will get it in the mail, and then you fill it out whenever you want to. Just say you get it by Wednesday, you fill it out, you send it back in the mail. Let's say you want to wait a day or two to fill it out and send it in. That's fine. You can study it in the middle of the night or in the morning or in the afternoon. The choice is yours, but by all means, do not miss out, because you will discover things in God's Word that you may have never seen before. Let me repeat that. There are things in God's Word that the God of this world has hidden from the world so that they do not change their residence of the world to Christ. And so if He can keep people outside of the salvation that only Christ gives, then He has won. And so across the churches of the land, He has won a big victory. It is only by finding what God says in His Word that we can escape the bondage of sin and thus be found in Christ. So do yourself a favor. Call 553-5157. There's an operator standing by. If you call and the line's busy, just hang up. wait a few moments, and then hit redial, and you can get through 553-5157, and you will receive this correspondence course in the mail absolutely free. By no way will we ever ask for a donation, nor do we expect it in any way or any form or fashion. We are just desirous to share with you the wealth in God's Word. Again, that operator standing by at 553-5157. Don't miss out on this free course that you will learn so much from God's Word. Most people that I have talked to and that go through this course say, you know, I've learned things in that I have never seen before, and I've learned more in this short time than all my years of going to church. Now, we hear that all the time. So don't miss out on this opportunity. Again, the operator standing by at 553-5157, and you can get this course in the mail to you free tomorrow. It's not like the infomercials or anything like that where you get, you know, a 30-day supply. No, no, no. You get an eternal supply because you're going to be blessed from God Himself, from His Word. And so it'll be absolutely free. The price has already been paid by the blood of His Son, our Savior. So don't miss out. 553-5157. Get this course to you, and we're happy to send it to you free. We have Ben calling in this question. Ben, thank you. He is a longtime listener. He's been listening to this program now for years, and we thank you so much. I just wish we had the opportunity to meet face-to-face. But anyway, he calls in. He asks a question. Romans 10:17, James 1:22. Do these verses go together? Well, here are the verses. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. James 1:22, be doers of the Word and not hearers only. Do they go together? Well, yes, because as we become a doer of God's Word, then it also deepens our faith. There's another verse I would put in your mix there, Ben, and that would be John 7:17, where Jesus said, if any man wills to do his will, he shall know whether I speak of myself or some other. And so the only way that we can really have, as a term that I hear people use all the time, spiritual discernment, is not from an act of God, but it's an act of our will. That is our determination. If I'm willing to be a doer of the Word, then I will know. And that will deepen my faith, and I will be pleasing to God in by so acting. 1 John 5:3, Jesus, our God, said, this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. Jesus put it this way, if you love me, keep my commandments. John 14:15. So all those go together, and Ben, that's a good connection. We sure do appreciate that very much. Again, the number is 308-9564, 308-WJNI is our voice line. There's one line available. If you call right now, just go ahead and let the phone ring. Or if you'd rather, you can text us at 725-9283.
We want to go ahead and mention also what's available to you is a in-home Bible study. You know, we talk about that from week to week. And again, it really is based upon our schedules, whether or not it permits us the opportunity to come in your home. We have several studies set up in the communities right now. But if you are interested, you and some friends and family would like to get together in your home and have us come and study the Word of God with you, we'd be more than happy to do that. In that respect, you would be able to ask us questions. We'll be able to go to the Bible. We'll be able to meet you. But also be able to talk about some of the deeper things that we find within the pages of the Scriptures. If that is something that you are interested in, something that you'd like to arrange in your home, go ahead and call the operator standing by and let her know that that's something you would like. That number again is 553-5157. 553-5157. And while you have her on the line, if you have not already, you can sign up for the Bible Correspondence Course, and that can be a help to you as well. Again, that number is 553-5157. So join us right now. Go ahead and call 308-9564. That's the number to call, 308-9564. Don't feel that you have to call that number. You can text us at 725-9283, 725-9283. And the last question, we're talking a little bit about this idea of doing the will of God. John chapter 14, John 15:14, and John 14:15 say just about the same thing. And John 14:15, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And John 15:14, Jesus says, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. And so what you have is God says, you really have to do what I say. The only way you can be my friend is to do what I say. The only way you can express your love for me is to do what I say. And those of you who have listened week after week after week, you'll know that my favorite passage is out of Hebrews, the 5th chapter, verses 8 and 9. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, where the Bible says concerning Jesus that though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all that obey him. Ladies and gentlemen, we have to do what he says. We have to obey. But we ought not ever get in our mind that by obeying, I'm earning something. You cannot earn salvation. Salvation is by grace, for by grace are you saved, the Bible says in Ephesians. And so we cannot earn salvation, but I still have to accept the gift of his son. And the only way I can accept the gift is by doing what he tells me I need to do to accept the gift. And God intended that you and I would, in fact, do these things that he has prepared beforehand in order to receive his grace, in order to receive his mercy. And another way of saying receive is accept. The only way I can accept his grace, the only way I can accept his mercy is by doing what he says. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, 9, and 10, the Bible says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. No one I know can receive a gift unless they accept it. And so I might give it to you, but you still have to accept the thing. And everything that we would do towards God and obeying God is saying, I'm willing to accept the gift that you're offering. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And so I'm not receiving salvation as a result of works. I can't earn it. But I still have to work. Verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God intended that we would do what he said. And no one will get away with not doing what he says. Because the only way we can express love to him is to do what he says. The only way we can be his friend is to do what he says. The only way he can become the author of eternal salvation is if we would obey, if we would obey him. It's time for us to take a break, but even while we're at break, we want to encourage you to call in your questions. 308-9564, that is the number to call. This is a live call-in radio broadcast where you can call in your question, and we will go to God's Word and let the Bible speak. 308-9564, we'll be right back. The correspondence course is available to you if you would take advantage of it. We encourage you to do so. Go ahead and call the operator standing by at 553-5157. To join us right now with your question, go ahead and call 308-9564. 308-9564. The line is, both lines are available, so if you call right now, you would get in. 308-9564. I hear it ringing, so there's still one line available. 308-9564. If you wish, you can go ahead and text us at 725-9283.
We have a caller calling in this question. It says, where in the Bible does it say it is when the people worshiped the golden calf before Moses came down with down from the mountain with the Ten Commandments? That's in Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32 is where that occurs, and the story pretty well takes up the whole chapter. And then does it say that the people committed every sin known to the world? And I looked at all those combination of words to see if that phrase was used in the Bible, and there was no combination of words that fit that descriptors there. Now, there was this phrase that was used in Genesis chapter 6, where God looked and saw the earth and the heart of man, and it grieved him. That's Genesis 6, verse 6 and 7. And verse 7 says, so the Lord said, I will destroy man that I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things, birds of the air. It says he grieved his heart because verse 5 says, and the Lord saw the wickedness of man. This is Genesis 6 and verse 5. The wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And so that's about the closest that I could get. And, of course, the result of that is everybody but Noah and his family had to die because of their evil. And so the truth of the matter is, whether wherever those sentiments may be expressed in whatever way, God is going to be the executor of judgment one day upon all unrighteousness, and we must all give an account to God and make certain the only way that we can make it to heaven is through the blood of Jesus Christ, and that blood is applied to my sin only when I hear God's word, I understand by faith what he has told me to do, and thus repenting of my sin. John 3 and verse 16, belief from that love of God, and I've got must turn from my sin. Acts 2 and verse 38, confess my belief in Jesus Christ. Romans 10 verse 9 and 10, and last, to be added to the body of Christ, for us to die to that sin, I must be baptized into Christ to wash away my sins. Acts 22:16, to be able to be added to Christ. Galatians 3 and verse 27 and Romans 6 and verse 3, where God says, know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. And so that's when we're added to the body of Christ. And thus we're free from the penalty that the world, that would be every one of us, has earned, because the wage of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. How do we receive that gift? By obeying his word. We must be doers of the word and not hearers only. Thank you for your question. That is a wonderful question. And sometimes those kind of stories do get kind of jumbled up with other things. And so no matter where and when, and there's many episodes of man sinning against God in the Bible, we all have to do what God says in order to have that penalty that we've earned taken away. And that's the only way that we will ever be able to be pleasing to our God, not by our own merit, but by the grace of God, appealing to him for for mercy, and thus be able to be righteous in his sight. Thank you so much for your question. We sure do appreciate it. The lines are now available, 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. And we will let the Bible speak to the question that's on your mind. We do want you to be mindful there's an operator standing by at 553-5157. If you've never received this correspondence course, you will be blessed much if you decide to enroll in it today. You can study it at any time you want to. You will get it in tomorrow's mail. It is free of charge, and you can study it, fill it out, send it back to us. We'll send then lesson 2 and 3, and fill those out, study them, send them out, send them back to us, and then we'll return it with the lesson 4, 5, and 6. So you will have an overview and just 3 simple mailings of this first correspondence course, and we're happy to share it with you. Again, the operator is at 553-5157, and she'll get your information, and we'll make certain that it's in tomorrow's mail. We're happy to send it to you. It is our pleasure, our honor, to share with you the treasure that will never be taken away from you. That which we learn from God will always have an effect on our souls throughout eternity. So don't miss out in learning that which the God of this world would have you to stay ignorant of. That's the way he works. He loves to keep people in the dark. After all, he is dark. And so let's make certain that we do not be kept there, but that we find the light from God's word. Let it expose the darkness, the sin in our lives, that which we may not have known by studying of God's word. Again, that's 553-5157, and we will let the Bible speak through this correspondence course. Nick, do you have a question?
Yes, Robert calls in a series of questions. Robert says, where does Jesus say that he is the vine and his Father is the vine dresser in the Bible? And where does he say that he's the true vine? Well, both those questions can be answered in John 15, chapter and verse 1, John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. He goes on to say, third question is, what does him being the vine mean? Well, when we look at this idea of him being the vine, he's clear that he is the vine, and in talking to his disciples, they are the branches. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. So you know that Jesus makes this play that he is the vine, and the branches, you have to kind of think of it like a grapevine. And these grapevines have these little tiny branches. But the grapevine with these little tiny branches cannot produce the grapes. It cannot produce fruit unless those branches abide in the vine. If you break off one of those branches, it will not produce fruit. Jesus says that he is the vine, the life giver. And then the disciples are the branches. And the only way the branches, those disciples, can produce fruit is if they abide in him. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. And so Jesus is the one that gives life to all disciples and their ability to produce fruit, to go out and to teach his message and to be prosperous in the work of evangelism, be prosperous in the kingdom, it will only happen if I'm abiding in the vine. And if I'm not what I need to be, then he says in this text, since his father is the vine dresser, like a gardener, his father will prune that branch that's not producing like it's supposed to. He will prune it off. He'll cut it off. And so we need to make sure that if we are part of the vine, that we are bearing much fruit. I hope that's been helpful to you. That's John chapter 15, verses 1 through 5. John 15, verses 1 through 5. So join us right now. Go ahead and call 308-9564, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak. You can also send us a text message at 725-9283.
We have a caller calling in this question. They want to know, the last three numbers are 448. Their question is, are evangelists and missionaries mentioned in the Bible? Well, first of all, the word missionary is not mentioned in the Bible. That's easy to do because it's just not there. But what about evangelist? Well, the word evangelist is mentioned three times in God's Word in the original language. It is, I won't try to say the Greek word, but it's in Acts chapter 21 and verse 8. It is also in Ephesians 4 and verse 11 and 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5. Philip is referred to as an evangelist in 2 21 and verse 8. And then 2 Timothy, it brings out, do the work of an evangelist as Paul was instructing Timothy. And so those are the three places in the Bible that the word evangelist means. Now, the word means actually a heralder of good news, a preacher of the gospel. It has the idea of heralding what the message says. The actual word root of it is to announce the good news, especially the gospel, to declare or bring good tidings. And so that is the actual meaning of the word, and that root word is used a number of times in God's word and translated by a number of words. It's used over 52 times, that root of that word. And so that's probably more information than you wanted to know. But anyway, sorry about that if I went too far. That's what God's word says about those two words, and hopefully that's important to you. I would say that information that is to be taught, that is to be proclaimed by those men, should be God's word alone. And thus, as they herald that news, it is the heralding of that good news to cause people to come to Christ. We live in a day and a time where Christianity as a whole is shrinking. And in particular, those that may be teaching the pure gospel and not that which was created by some council of men or some split in some church, that is, those that just follow the word and the word only, then we should make certain that we're following just his word. And so let's make certain that that is the good news that we're listening to. Again, the number is 308-9564. Let's see, we've got a follow-up. It says, you said missionary is not in the Bible. Expound on that and then who are missionaries. Well, the word missionary is not in the Bible as far as a biblical word. Many times it is referred to by people to refer to preachers that go overseas. And I'm looking on Google right quick to give the worldly definition of the word. And and it just simply refers to someone preaching the Christian gospel or to practice or relaying information of particular beliefs to others with the object of conversion. And so according to Wikipedia, that's what that word means. But and so you could say that that could be referring to what we're doing here on the radio by that definition, but it's biblically not in God's word. And so your question as to what does that mean? Well, we should be about doing that, as I just mentioned. The church is actually shrinking as a whole because of lack of people sharing this good news. God wants us to evangelize. Every Christian is to be that. Every one of us are under the mission, the group, or the mission that God has given us. In Acts chapter 20 and verses 18, 19, and 20, he told them, all authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Matthew chapter 28. Thank you. They just corrected me. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. And then he says, go into all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So this is our mission. And sometimes people take that and say, well, missionaries are people that are about that mission. Now, the actual word mission or missionary is not in there, but that's what they are referring to. But are we doing that? Are we doing everything we can to herald the good news so that people might come to salvation and be prepared to meet God one day? Well, we got to be about that, and we need to make certain that we are ready to meet him. So I hope that's been helpful to you. I hope it wasn't confusing at all. The word missionary is not in the Bible, but we are to evangelize, we are to herald the good news, and we are to be about this, what we call mission. And then we will be pleasing to our God. It's time for us to take our last break. We want you to know that there is an operator standing by at the number we're about to tell you. This is your last chance, the last break, to be able to speak to the operator standing by, because then it goes into Dial a Bible Study, which is a daily message from God's Word, which you can call every day, and it'll be a different message from God's Word. So go ahead and take advantage of getting this course in tomorrow's mail. It is free. Don't miss out on it. Here's the information about that. And if you want to have a question, this is our last segment. Call in your question right now, 308-9564. We're back live now, and we do want you to know that the course will be free to you. We're happy to send it to you, and it is our honor, because as you study these things, you will discover things that you may have never seen before in God's Word. It's not because it's something new. It's just been there the whole time. But the God of this world, via many religious folks, has blinded the eyes to they don't see these things. There are things in God's Word that very well may keep you out of heaven. So don't miss out. Get this course in the mail to you even tomorrow. So go ahead and call right now, 553-5157. Let me also say that I must have been confusing before, and I apologize if I was. English is a very difficult language, and so what we'll do is we'll let Nick also take a jab at this thing about missionaries in the Bible. Nick, how do you put it?
Well, I think, Ricky, part of the challenge is that there are terms or terminology that sometimes we'll use that's being used in churches today. And as a result of that, that sometimes we get those words in our head and it's hard to let go. You know, we have a meaning associated with those words. You look at Matthew chapter 28, you have Jesus giving the Great Commission, and he sends his disciples or his apostles out to proclaim the message. And a person might say, well, they were missionaries, but the reality is that they were disciples, they were apostles, and they were sent out. The difference is, when I say they were apostles or disciples, I'm using Bible words. And anytime we get outside the Bible, that's when we get confused. Missionary, the word missionary, is not in the Bible. And there are tons of words that we use in religion today that are words that are not in the Bible, and it causes a great deal of difficulty in understanding. Words like Trinity, that word is not in the Bible. And someone says, yes, the Holy Trinity is. Well, the word Trinity is not in the Bible. And again, is there a principle in the Bible that talks about the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit? Sure, absolutely. What we need to do, though, is we need to make sure we're using those terms, Bible terms. I think God absolutely knew what he was trying to say when he said the things that he said. God absolutely knew the things that he was trying to say that he, when he said what he said. You know what I mean, right? The idea that God says it better than we can. And so we
Amen.
Don't and we don't have to change it. We don't have to rearrange it. And when we do, all that's going to do is cause confusion.
Now, used a term about the God of this world. Explain to them what that means as well.
Well, the Bible refers to the God of this world as being Satan, because he's in control of this world. He's, you know, he's the one to which those who are not in Christ, they are a slave of. He's of this world. All that is in the world, the Bible shows, is not of the Father, but really is a result of him. In the Bible, in the book of 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, the Bible says, do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loved the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. And so the world, this world, is not of the Father. And all that's in the world is not of the Father. And those who are living a life in this world and they're following after the things of this world, then they're following the God, if you will, the prince, if you will, of this world, which would be Satan. He's the one that's in charge, if you will, of this world and the things of this world, things like lust, things like pride, things like sin. And so we don't want to follow him. But again, we want to say things the way the Bible says it, and that makes it easier to understand. And so I just want, hopefully that's helpful. Words like missionary is not in the Bible. Trinity is not in the Bible. Highest praise, well, that's not in the Bible. And these are things I hear today, and people call in, they have questions about, and the reason why they have questions about it is because they're not in the Bible. So join us right now. Go ahead and call 308-9564, 308-9564. And we will do our best just to let the Bible speak. 308-9564. If you prefer to text us, so you have just about, maybe 5 minutes or so, 5-6 minutes, go ahead and text us at 725-9283, 725-9283. Don't miss out on the Bible Correspondence Course. You still can take advantage of that by calling the operator standing by. That's 553-5157, 553-5157. And while you have the operator standing by online, tell her that you would be interested in hosting a Let the Bible Speak in your home. And the intent would be that you're going to get your friends and family together, and we will, as our schedules will allow, come in your home, open up our Bibles, and we will let the Bible speak. If that's something you're interested in, go ahead and tell the operator standing by that that's something you would like. Again, that number is 553-5157. Still a few more minutes, so go ahead and call 308-9564.
The whole intent behind the word missionary and the word evangelist, which is, as we mentioned earlier, is that we would let God's word not only come to us, but through us. And in Matthew 28 that we were quoting just a minute ago, after he told them to go into all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, there are a couple of elements there to remember. He didn't tell them to go build a church building, and invite the world in. That wasn't part of it. Matter of fact, something else that is missing from God's word that is commonly adopted, embraced today is church buildings. Where in the Bible was there ever a church building? Oh, yes, I know there was a temple in the Old Testament. There were synagogues by the Jews. But where was the church ever going to the real estate building business of building a church building and becoming a landowner and making a name in the community for themselves? That is something that is foreign from the scriptures. Matter of fact, seemingly, the only name that the church people, God's people, had for themselves was, in many cases, a bad name. They were called a mob. They were called the church discouraging terms were applied to them, especially by the enemies. And so the darker this world gets, the less that people will be able to stand for truth and to be able to be popular among the world. Not that God's people should ever be popular. So let's make certain that we just want to try to be God's people, do what God says, be one of his people, and to herald this good news. Now, I was saying in Matthew 28 that not only were they to go into all the nations, teach, baptize, make disciples, baptize, they were to teach them to observe all things as well that he had been commanding them. So the word of God must be replicated. It must be multiplied. That's the way the church grew. That's the way the word went forth, and that people were multiplying. The disciples were multiplying is a word that's used commonly throughout the book of Acts. So if you are blessed by this program, in other words, then you are duty-bound by God himself to share this good news with others. If you want to refer to it as missionary or evangelism, either way, we need to make certain that we are going to let God's word flow through us and not just to us. So if you're blessed by this program, make certain that you share it with others. Those of you that have received the correspondence course, if you remember, we sent you at least two business cards with the information about this program and the dollar Bible study. And so that was for you to be able to give those extra cards to friends. So make certain that you don't miss that opportunity. Many are being responsive to this even today, and we are more than happy to continue and share with as many as are desirous to know what God's word, so that God is blessed, that you are blessed, and that many others are coming to the Lord. We're about to run down on time now, and so we do want you to know that we've got to just a minute or two left, and so let's make certain that we, this week, make a committed effort to let God be the one that is directing us and giving us the kind of comfort that we need and direction that we need so that we might be able to be found in him. Let's make certain that we are going to be able to be one of his children throughout eternity. Again, we're about to run out of time, and so as we are approaching the end of the program, please make certain that we are ready to be able to learn from God. There is an operator standing by making certain that you get this course if you desire to have it at 553-5157. 553-5157. We know that you desire true happiness and joy that only God can give. He's the only one that can give us a fulfilled life here. And it will not come through seeking after money or things, physical things, or even position. It'll only come by yielding to the Creator's touch, obediently loving him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We've got to learn what that means. And by learning to do what God says, that will equip us to be able to walk by faith and to be found in him. What we need to do is to make certain that we are letting God be the one in charge of our life. Please know you will not find the answers in church doctrines and experiences. It will only come by listening to God from his word. We must let the Bible speak.